The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
One of our listeners, Mike, reminds me that I also had the number 614-821-WRFD. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I think that was back to Saturday programs before I went daily. But Mike, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, that number doesn't work anymore, 614-821-WRFD. Way back years ago, all of the Columbus radio stations that had call-in numbers, all of them began with 821. Not sure why, but they all did. But again, that's ancient history. Mike, thanks for the reminder. All right. Speaking of listeners, we're going to go to the phones, and I've got Mark in Columbus. Hey, Mark, welcome, and thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
I just have a quick question. Could you define what you mean by biblical perspective? Because a lot of Christians are going to disagree about how to interpret and apply the Bible, you know, faithful, good Christians. I mean, for example, Calvinists versus Arminians, you know, and these professors, now I'm assuming that they're well-meaning believers that don't really want to distort or corrupt the Word of God, you know. I mean, is it really fair, you know, for you to say that, you know, that they're teaching nonsense in their book? I mean, like, have you read their book? I mean, or do you just like read, you know, like a portion of a chapter? I mean, I just feel like it's rather, you know, it's a sweeping statement. You know?
Indeed it is. And I have not read all of the book, but I've read enough quotes from the book to know that it is thoroughly unbiblical in my point of view. Now, you talk about what is the definition of a biblical worldview or a biblical point of view? It has to begin with your view of Scripture, all right? Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God? I believe all three of those, and that defines or begins my exploration of Scripture. In other words, whatever the Bible says is true. Now, can people, different people interpret it the same way? Of course they can, but if you believe that the Bible is infallible and inerrant, I think you will have an enormous amount of agreement on things like cosmology, the origins of man, whether Genesis is literal or symbolic, whether the flood actually happened, was historic, or whether it was symbolic. I think that's the foundation for the discussion. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. But to take an issue a little bit further, I wouldn't say I'm a charismatic with a vengeance or a radical, but I do believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and today. And a lot of, you know, I mean, there is not one scripture in the New Testament that says that these gifts of the Spirit will ever, you know, stop functioning on the earth. That's clearly stated. But yet, you know, the sensation is supported by, you know, many people who claim to, you know, hold the Bible as the Word of God and inerrant. So it's like, it's hard for me to really, you know, take this, you know, seriously from people who, you know, don't teach this part of the Christian faith and the claim that they're teaching the Bible and then turn around and say that, you know, these people, because they believe in theistic evolution, are, you know, don't teach or believe in that the Bible is the Word of God.
Well, so with like Mark, with all due respect, The controversy between cessationism and people who believe in the continuation of the gifts and those who believe that much of the Old Testament is symbolic and not literal is not apples to apples. I mean, we're talking apples to oranges, big, big, big time. People who are charismatic and people who are cessationist would both agree on the literal aspect of creation, the literal aspect of the flood, the literal aspect of the miracles of Moses, the crossing of the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, the miraculous nature of the defeat of Jericho. Charismatics and cessationists would agree on all of those things. And the disagreement between charismatics and cessationists would be much, much more minor than the major issues about the literal nature of the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. I would doubt, now I don't know this for sure, but I would doubt that any of the five authors of this textbook that's being used at Wheaton would agree that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. They would say, yes, it's inspired. And I doubt that they would say it's infallible, and they certainly would not agree that it's inerrant, or they could not possibly take the first three chapters of Genesis as symbolic. Noah's flood is symbolic. The crossing of the Red Sea is symbolic. And all of the other miracles of the Old Testament that they discount. You can't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and discount those things.
That makes sense. My point was just to highlight that you can have a radically different interpretation and application of Scripture, you know, over like an issue like charismatic gifts as you can about probably about interpretation of the creation narratives. I'm just saying that the lines, you know, that are being drawn, like I'm just not comfortable by saying someone does not have a biblical worldview, when I know even within Christianity.
Well, wait, Mark, if someone, Mark, yeah. If someone denies a good portion of Scripture and says it's not literal, it is only symbolic, how can you possibly say that they do have a biblical worldview? How can you do that?
Well, it depends on the text and how literal it's supposed to be taken, because some of the Psalms and the Proverbs, you know, are obviously, you know.
Do you believe that the first three chapters of Genesis are literal and that Adam and Eve really existed and they are historic characters? Do you believe that?
If I had a choice between believing that and evolution, I definitely believe that.
Do you believe that Noah's flood was literal?
I do.
Do you believe that Moses literally parted the water and the Red Sea parted and the children of Israel crossed through on dry ground?
I don't believe he looked like Charlton Heston, but I do believe it happened.
Well, I doubt that he looked like Charlton Heston either. But you and I are on the same page on the literal nature of Scripture. Of course there is symbolic language in Scripture. But someone, I believe, who has a biblical worldview will take the Bible literally unless it is clearly symbolic. And there are many areas in Scripture that are clearly symbolic. The four corners of the earth. Well, we still use that phrase today. I hear that often. I've traveled to the four corners of the earth. Does that mean that they believe that the earth is flat? Of course not. That's typical or symbolic language. But we cannot leave the literal aspect of Scripture, because as I said before, the ultimate point, if we believe that all of the miraculous things in Scripture in the Old Testament were only symbolic, then how do we know that the death of Christ on the cross and his propitiatory atonement for us by shedding his blood for us, how do we know that it's real? And the answer is we don't. If you pick and choose what is real and what is fairy tale, then you can make the case that it's all fairy tale and it's all symbolic. And many liberals who claim to be Christians believe exactly that about the cross, that the resurrection didn't really happen. It wasn't bodily. It wasn't physical. It was only symbolic, just like creation, the flood, Moses, and so forth. So you've got to choose whether you're going to take the Bible at face value, and I have chosen to do that. And I don't believe that if you reject those things, I don't believe you have a biblical worldview. I really don't. But Mark, I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate you calling. I hope you'll call again. And I got to take a break. 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
You think there's a double standard in the press? The way the press treated Donald Trump and the way the press is treating Joe Biden? No. Yeah, right. Can you imagine if this was about Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump? Can you imagine if this story was about a son of Donald Trump? What am I talking about? Well, it has been revealed that Hunter Biden used the N-word quite loosely. The Daily Mail out of Great Britain. This is so bizarre. You often, and I mean often, see the Daily Mail breaking stories about American politics that should have been discovered here with our American press. It is bizarre how often this happens. Here is a British news source uncovering stories, breaking stories that our American press either ignored or just missed. Now, most of you are familiar with Hunter Biden's laptop computer that was dropped off at a computer store to fix some kind of problem. I don't remember what it was. Hunter Biden signed the form, dropping it off at the computer shop, and then just never picked it up. He never picked it up. And in time, legally, in whatever state that was, I don't remember, and it's not important, but whatever state, after so long, the property becomes the property of the business owner. Well, that's what happened here. So the business owner realized he had Hunter Biden's computer, and he backed up the hard drive. Now, please remember, it was now his property because Hunter Biden never picked it up. He backed up the hard drive and found some incredible stuff. And little by little by little, this stuff on his hard drive has leaked out. Conversations with officials in Ukraine that seemed to indicate that his father, who was vice president of the United States at that time, had some very unhealthy relationships with foreign governments. That has not been proven yet, and probably never will be. But anyway, here is the latest bombshell, and this is a bombshell. Texts between Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, and his personal attorney from 2018 and 2019, the texts have been released. And Hunter Biden uses the N-word frequently. the N-word frequently. Now, you do know how many TV people, TV stars that have had their careers completely ruined because they use the N-word. Politicians, careers completely ruined because they use the N-word maybe even 10, 15, 20 years ago. Career ruined. Movie stars. There have been a handful of movie stars. Their careers completely ruined. I mean, down the toilet because they use the N-word. Here is the son of our current president throwing around the N-word often. And not only that, he gets into some really gross, perverse things about his personal anatomy, and his attorney is clearly put off by this and is trying to say, hey, Hunter, cool it. I don't want to see this. I don't want to hear this. Hunter Biden just keeps it on and on and on and continues to use the N-word. Now, do you think this will be a headline story on the 7 o'clock news tonight, 11 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news, national, local news? No. Now, I'm serious. How would the news media treat this if these were texts from Donald Trump Jr.? Well, you know how they would handle it. I went to CNN. I mean, this is huge. This is the son of the president. This is the president who keeps talking about race and racism and, okay. I went to CNN today. Not a word. Not a peep. The New York Times mentioned it in passing. CNN, not a word. Now, do I personally believe that President Joe Biden is responsible for everything his son says? No, I don't. I don't think he's responsible. Hunter Biden is an adult. Adults make choices. They make dumb choices sometimes. So I am not saying that Joe Biden is responsible for this. I'm pointing out the gross inconsistency and hypocrisy in the press. Will this have legs? Will it go anywhere? Probably not. But we will see. Hey, folks, can't tell you how much I appreciate you being along for the ride today. Thank you. Hope to meet the same time, same place tomorrow. But please, wherever you go, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.